Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
And it's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground and pound by Nogueira.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hulcrin, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. And moments before we started the show, we were about to get into it, so I figured we would just stop and actually get into it so that you could all hear us get into it.
Save it for the show, they say. Save it for the show.
So we are saving it for the show. We're going to start with UFC 206 this week. While Daniel Cormier and Anthony Rumble Johnson were on a morning show, the host of the morning show decided to let Rumble know that Daniel Cormier may or may not have a knee injury, which was news to Rumble on the morning show.
Yeah, this was breakfast television in Canada.
Breakfast television in Canada. Oh, yeah, the other great part of the story is that immediately after they dragged Cormier and Johnson around the country of Canada, they then fired all of those employees and shut down the UFC Canada office. That also happened this week.
Which is a related story we'll get to, I'm sure, in moments. The interesting thing here, we want to jump into this, and we'll get to GSP. We'll get to
GSP. I promise we'll get to GSP, but
that's
like,
very related to 206 right now, because
it needs it.
We're talking about this because
he can shadow box, he would make more money than his pay-per-view will.
There's all kinds of noise around this main event right now, which I think is a pretty good main event. Now, it's something we've seen before, granted, but at this light heavyweight division, I think it's something necessary to happen to kind of move on from John Jones at this point until we figure out whenever John's coming back and not have to worry about it. You are not as excited as I am about this fight.
No. What we were talking about before
okay,
we started
fair enough.
Was,
go ahead.
I am not, I think this card is god awful. I'm excited about this fight. I don't mind that it's a two, because I think that both of these guys have grown in ways that are really interesting for the sake of this fight. In that, like, you brought it up that we might see Johnson and Jones at some point for the number one contendership, because Jones would have to probably do that to get back into contention. We're not going to get that. Instead, we're going to get this. And like I said, both guys have been on a little bit of a growing experience, which is interesting at their age and where they are in their careers, that they're going to be in this second fight than they were the first time. So it's not so easy to say that Cormier is going to take Johnson's best and eventually figure out a way to beat him. I don't know that that's a done deal, as somehow it appears that Anthony Rumble Johnson has gotten more power in his hands. And I don't know that Cormier will be able to withstand a drubbing from Johnson at any point in this fight, early or late.
So it's an interesting rematch. You're giving credit to the fight, but you don't like the card now.
Zach Mikowski and John Moraga. John McDessie is on this card. Oliver Aboud-Mercier is on this card. Khabilov is on this card. Those are the people they want you to pay $60 to watch.
Okay, but let's be fair at this point.
Please tell me how we're going to be fair.
We have seen an interesting dynamic kind of happen here in the UFC over the past couple of months, which I don't think we've seen a lot of in the past. We saw a lot of cards kind of fall apart over the past couple of years. It's been a recurring theme in the show, talking about the number of events. They've got to staff these events, basically. They need a ton of fighters for these events. What we've seen from the UFC is there's a lot of events that kind of just have holes in them, and it doesn't seem like we fill them until maybe a month before the card. You got to remember, this card's not till December 10th. I don't know what's on the back burner. We're going to get to GSP here in just a second, because I think that's the thing that they were counting on for this card perhaps happening. And we saw that Anderson Silva's son tweeted that this essentially was done as of last week. But then everybody started, get the horses back in the barn. So I don't know if anything else is going to happen with this card. I suspect something else is. But I've said over and over and over again with UFC events, look, everything can't be 200. Everything can't be 205.
Sure.
You are going to have a year with UFC with possibly two of the best overall top to bottom cards you've seen. And those cards include 200 and 205. So what we've got now is very, very stacked cards. And then cards that follow, a really great main event with a championship fight you probably want to see. I'm okay with that. I don't pay 60, by the way. I pay like 45 on
Yahoo. My point is,
are you not good with $45? And again, I don't want this to be be a company where we don't get cool cards with multiple fights, but we've always just bought these fights for the main event.
Look, I don't mind if you just get one more fight on here that's interesting. And if you're all in on the lightweight and bantamweight division, this is the card for you because it's stacked with those guys.
Yeah, I thought you'd be excited about this card.
I'm sure these fights are going to be great.
So
but
many names I don't know that you would tell me, like, some dude's he's won 18 straight on Fight Pass.
This is my point, is that so many great guys that you don't know, that's not how you're going to sell a pay-per-view. And I bring this up specific to this week.
Is Daniel Cormier not enough for eyeballs, though, to help those guys?
No. He's not a pay-per-view draw. No.
You don't think so?
No.
I think at this point he is.
Nope.
He's not Conor McGregor, but I think he's a draw at this point.
I will tell you right now, my friend, I will give you, we can bet whatever you want when the show is over and we'll tell people next week, but I will bet you whatever you want to bet that this pay-per-view, if it stays in its current form, won't even be in the top 10 of 2016.
Well, here's the only caveat with that bet is you've got in its current form, which I really don't feel like this card is finished. I'm just saying I don't necessarily have a huge problem with the card when we got the light heavyweight championship on the line. Well, that's always been a division that's been delivering too. This is one of the most consistent divisions in the UFC.
And this fight will be no different.
People love that because it's as close as you can get to those heavyweight guys without worrying about everybody gassing by the third round.
But here's why I bring this up, because this week two fights were announced for UFC 207, and I think one of them should have been on 206. So at 207, you have at the top of the card Rousey and Nunes. They just added Cain Velasquez and Verdum as their sequel fight.
Yeah, but I forget. Somebody needs time to heal in that fight, though, don't they?
You've got Hendricks and Magny on that card, Safadine and Matt Brown on that card, and then they just added Dominic Cruz and Cody Garbrandt for that title.
Mm-hmm. 207.
At 207.
So up and down.
Could you have moved either Verdum and Velasquez to 06 or Cruz and Garbrandt to 06?
Maybe Cruz and Corey Garbrandt. I think that's fine, but I wouldn't have moved the heavyweight and light heavyweight titles onto the same card.
But what I'm saying is you announced two fights that people are excited about. People want to see if Cody Garbrandt is the real... If you like that division and you like seeing Dominic Cruz fight, you want to see if Cody Garbrandt is the real deal.
Dominic Cruz fights on Fox, and I love Dominic Cruz, and he's a very dominant champion.
How dare you, sir.
But I'm telling you, he's not a draw. So you're telling me to put a non-draw on this card to create?
It's a whole card of non-draws. At least this guy's got a name.
So then why waste Cruz there?
I'm going back to 206.
Apoplectic.
I want you to look at 206.
The description
and outside,
for Eric right
hang
now.
On. Outside of the two guys at the top of 206, name one person on this card that has been on Fox as a commentator.
I just said it's top heavy. I agree with you.
Top
yes.
It's like the 1% of the 1%.
Yes, but that makes the world go
round. This
is like
Donald Trump's tax plan. Like, that's who's going to...
Don't start that. Don't start talking about that.
Come on.
We don't need that inside the show. But I'm just saying, it looks like to me the UFC's definitely got a plan. They're going up and they're going down with these cards. And I joked about my price point, but I don't know about other people because I buy them on Yahoo.
Yeah.
That's where I get my pay-per-views.
You watch them on YouTube, right? Or Yahoo.
No, YouTube. I'm sorry. I used to buy them on Yahoo. I grab them on YouTube now. My price point fluctuates for these. Am I the only one that has that?
Does it? No. I buy them off Xbox and it never changes.
What is your price point?
$59 and $69.
Yeah, usually...
$49 and $59 if I get an SD.
Okay, so my price point is usually $44.99 or $49.99. $49.99 has been $205, $200, and some other ones. So
45 is high def as well?
Yeah, well, they don't say it, but I mean, you've been over to my house. It looks like it. I think that just gives you the best available stream.
Got it. Okay.
You don't choose HD, and that's another reason I like it. I get HD, but it doesn't make you pay HD dollars.
Right.
So my price point fluctuates by $5. So maybe that's another thing I've kind of noticed. Like, oh, this is going to be $45. Oh, this one's $49.
And, you know, and if that's what you're going to do.
I think $200 might have been $54.99. I'm not sure.
And again, like using the WWE price point, if WrestleMania is more expensive than SummerSlam, so be it, right?
But it's only $9.99, so your price point issue
You know, in the old model, it was more expensive. It was a more expensive pay-per-view than SummerSlam was, which made sense at the time. And if that's what they were going to do across the board, but through Xbox and through the PS4 network, you're using Fight Pass, which is $49.99 for standard definition and $59.99 for high def.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, see, I've been using YouTube for a while now, and it bounces up and down. I've noticed that. So that's kind of an interesting point. But I think, you know, let's go back to 200. You had Tate Nunez was ostensibly the title fight there, but everybody was tuned in for Brock.
Yep.
You followed that up with Lawler Woodley, and we kept saying about that card over and over again, boy, I don't know about this. Who else is there? I mean, you know, you had Rose Namajunas in the co-main event, ostensibly. So I think you've seen the UFC already decide to do this, and it's in place, and it's something we're going to see. If you've got a big, fat supercard, you're going to have to take one that's going to be, okay, here's your great championship fight. For that card, it was Tyron Woodley and Robbie Lawler. This fight, it's going to be a fight between Rumble Johnson and Daniel Cormier, who, like you said, you made a case. This could be an actual, very interesting rematch, despite the fact that they've already done this once, and the guy who is sitting on the sidelines never actually lost the belt. There's some compelling things around this fight, and I think that's where we are with the UFC. But you can't count out the fact that they might have been counting on some type of UFC GSP reunion. You had all kinds of things happen this past week. After we did the show last week,
right?
I think it was later that afternoon, Reebok unveiled their George St. Pierre UFC kit, which I found very interesting. Very, very interesting. At first, I thought it was a Photoshop, and then it was actually there on the site for a while. I don't know if it's there anymore. I'll check real quick. So you had that happen. Then later in the week, we find out that GSP says, oh, I'm a free agent. I don't have a Zuffa contract. Wait, what? I just thought I saw a St. Pierre jersey, or kit, I'm sorry, on Reebok. So at this point, we have people saying that, okay, George St. Pierre is a free agent. Then we have Reebok in Canada trying to sell the UFC George St. Pierre jersey, which is still online. So it's kind of interesting to see this dynamic go back and forth here. You can't officially buy it, but they've got it listed. So that's really strange. There's a model wearing it, too, if you go on their website. So, I mean, this isn't Photoshopped in, is my point.
Well, and, you know, and this whole story gets really hard to unpack in the time that we do this podcast for a couple of reasons. One, because like you said, on Monday, GSP says he's terminated his old UFC contract. He is a free agent. On Wednesday, the UFC retaliates and says that is not true. And then on Thursday, GSP's lawyer comes in and says, the contract is something out of the 1940s and they won't get away with it forever. And then on top of all this, you have to remember that WMG owns UFC, a mass majority of UFC, which is a talent agency for sports athletes, actors,
yeah,
so forth and so on. George St. Pierre is represented by CAA,
yes,
another agency.
That's a competing agency.
A rival agency. And so you have this other layer of context where, in some respects, it's a chance for IMG, to mess with CAA and George St. Pierre in a way that makes it so he essentially can't work, because this all comes to a head this week because they were not able to get a fight on the books. And they were not able to get the fight on the books, as we talked about last week, mostly because of this Under Armour Reebok flap.
Yes. These are two giant competing companies. George St. Pierre makes a ton of money. And yeah, the guy hasn't fought in a while, but I mean, in Canada, this guy is still huge. I mean, huge here, but...
Did you hear the Dana White thing where he's like, well, we'd have to reintroduce him to the audience? Are you kidding me right now?
I think
we'd have to reintroduce him to the audience?
Everything is
years.
Negotiation. I know. To steal and change a phrase you're fond of. Everybody's negotiating, but he's not 100% wrong there. There is definitely some reintroduction that's going to have to happen there. Is there a ton of it? No, but I mean, there's going to be guys that are in and out and go, hey, does he really have it? Don't forget, part of the reintroduction isn't just brand name. It's believing that this guy is the fighter that he once was. You and I probably were picking against him his last couple of fights in the UFC. I thought he lost the Johnny Hendricks fight. So reintroduction, maybe a strong term, but not 100% incorrect in regards to pay-per-view draw, who this guy is, his legitimacy, and where he can fight on these cards.
So let me ask you this. Let me change this question a little bit and ask you, would the UFC have to reintroduce Royce Gracie if he was going to fight at UFC 206?
They did reintroduce Royce Gracie when he fought Matt Hughes. They spent a lot of time on that introduction and telling you who he was and what he had done and his beginnings in the UFC. You can go back to the promotion for that Matt Hughes fight and look at exactly what they would probably do with GSP Now, here's the one caveat I'll give you. I actually think Hoist, as far as the UFC audience was at that point, was less relevant than GSP is to the audience today.
Sure.
That may sound like sacrilege to some people, but if you really look at how Hoist's career worked out, for the guys in those early Zuffa days, we didn't know anything. If you weren't digging around like you and I for VHS tapes or looking or somebody who had a satellite,
yeah,
not Dish or DirecTV, but like a satellite, you had no idea what he was doing in Pride. You had no idea what any of the family was doing in Pride, and that the Gracie legacy continued. There were no Gracies in the UFC for a long, long time. So that reintroduction took place with Hoist, and that reintroduction would have to take place with GSP.
Now,
am I saying that you spend all day, every day on it, and that's necessary? No, but there's a grain of truth in there with what Dana said.
A grain of truth, but I guess if this fight ended up the way it was supposed to be, Ken, and it's George St. Pierre, Anderson Silva, 206, we're reintroducing him to the audience?
I think somewhat. We're reintroducing both of them a bit, because you've got Anderson coming off. There's a cyclical fan base, and you're always reaching for new fans, and they have always reached a low on that 18 to 34 men. And if you've got an 18 to 20 year old dude who's been watching this for a couple years because maybe he couldn't afford it beforehand, maybe he stole it with his buddies, I don't know, you're always reintroducing your product. And if you don't do that, that's a fallacy in any type of business. So I think, yeah, you're reintroducing to a certain point. Of course Silva, GSP, is going to carry that thing. You don't have to worry a ton about it, but you're going to see every single vignette. Hell, we do it now. They don't take for granted that you don't know what Conor McGregor did the last 2 months. The guy's been fighting every 3 months.
Fair enough.
We see a ton of Conor McGregor. So I don't think it's wrong to say, hey, yeah, you know what? We're going to have to reintroduce GSP and make people remember who he was. Because even at the end, a lot of people didn't think he was who he was.
Now, your best guess in all of this, does at the end of, because we'll have to, there's one more variable I want to talk about in a second, but we're going to have to decide what we're doing with this within the next 8 days. So at the 8 days from now, next week, when we go to record the show, is George St. Pierre an employee of the UFC, a free agent, working for Bellator, or fighting on UFC 206?
None of the above is probably where I'm going to land. And that's because I think he's going to be locked in with UFC. He's not going to be booked on the card. I think one of the things that was kind of interesting that you mentioned, and we don't want to dig too much into the nuts and bolts sometimes, but the fact is that WME IMG didn't feel that it was necessary to have an entire division in Canada. Which is essentially what happened.
And I don't want to get into... Yeah, right.
I don't want to get way into that either. But, you do have to consider that entire division in Canada was created essentially around GSP's ascent in the UFC. I don't know his relationships with those people. Maybe he hated those people, for all I know. I don't know.
Sure.
But my guess would be there was some type of affinity there between GSP, his camp, and those people that worked in UFC Canada. Because they would be the ones working together.
Yep.
How many times did we put GSP in a Montreal card? How many times did Canadian events work around him or his team? I'm guessing, and I have no inside info, and I can't say this with any type of authority other than my reading of the situation from the outside. My guess is they probably got along. He was happy to have a division that was essentially his to deal with. And was it fair for GSP to have favored nation status, essentially, where he got to deal with his own team of UFC guys, where all the other fighters had to deal with somebody else? Probably not fair, quote unquote, but it simply existed. And if you're in this weird situation where you're trying to bring probably your biggest Canadian star in history back, and you just annihilate the entire division, I don't know. Is somebody somewhere unzipping their pants and swinging it around to try to show who the boss is at this point?
Well, maybe that's part of it. But the other part of it, and I think you can appreciate this, is if when you come in and you purchase something that large at $4.2 billion, you want to begin, as you get into the first 6 months, you want to start putting your own people in place.
You also want to remove redundancy, too.
You're going to cut redundancy, and you're going to put your own people in place. So you're going to see a lot of stories about UFC employees let go, and a lot of people very high up let go as part of this redundancy. And at the same time, guys, business is business, and people who buy businesses want their own people in said business. They don't want to have to deal with the way people did it last week, because they've got their own ideas of what they're going to do. And part of that own idea might be, like you said, keeping George St. Pierre on the beach for as long as they possibly can and doing nothing with him. And the other variable this week, and I will preface this by saying it's only been reported on BJPenn.com. But I say this because if you look at this card, as Ken alluded to 15 minutes ago, there's a gaping hole in the draw of what this card would be, as it's very top heavy, as Ken just said. So there is a rumor that started yesterday from BJPenn.com saying that your boy Michael Bisping is going to be back at UFC 206 fighting Gegard Mousasi. Now, on the one hand, I report this with that caveat. On the other hand, I report it by saying, if you go back and listen to last week's show, we told you the next fight would be Bisping Mousasi because that's the only one that made sense from a timing perspective.
Yes.
And it looks like if this happens, we will be 110% correct. Now, I will also say, Ken, and I would like to get your thoughts, and I said this on Twitter last night, the dude is supposed to be on a medical suspension for 60 days. This event would be 64 days after his Hendo fight. Aside from being the company guy that continues to help them out in jams, I don't know why he would do this fight.
Well, there's one very pressing reason, and I told you this last week. Once he was out of a fight with Dan Henderson, everybody was going to remember. It's like, oh, he's really old, too. He's going to have to get these fights in while he can if that's what he continues to do. I told you I wouldn't have been surprised after 204 if he would have walked out and retired after beating
Dan
Henderson.
Yeah.
Guy's 37 years old. So if you want to quote-unquote cash in at this point as the champion, that's your reason right there. Is it the best way to go about having to fight a guy like Gegard Mousasi? No. But you might be saying, you know what? I want to do this now. My training's been good. I've had good fights so far. I won the world title. You know, if you feel like that's where you are in your career and you're on that streak, sort of in that same vein that Conor McGregor's in right now. And Conor's in there cashing it all in as he can. He's a lot younger, obviously. You got to feel like Michael Bisping, if he's not contemplating retirement and not contemplating leaving within the next 12 months, that the best way to run his camp and run his gym and basically run his fights is to keep moving forward, is to keep fighting and taking on all comers as best he can when he can. 60 days, yeah, it's a short turnaround, but it gives you a full camp and basically you don't wear yourself down and you don't get out of shape, which can be a problem for older fighters. I'm not saying he was ever
a
guy that...
No, because he won the title hanging out with Vin Diesel and on 3 days' notice, essentially.
So I'm not saying he's a guy that's out of shape, but again, there's a lot of factors we got to start looking at for a dude that's going to turn 40 here in February. Or not 40, I'm sorry, 38 in February. But 38's real close to 40.
It's real close. The other rumor floating last night late is
Now, let me say this, and then I'll let you go on this. If the other option's to wait a month, you wait a month. But maybe the timing doesn't work out to wait a month.
Okay. That's what I thought you would say. Because, like, I'm with... If he wants to fight four times a year, I'm fine with that. I just think 64 days is pushing it. Now, what might get him back into the octagon on 64 days' notice might not be Mousasi. It might be the idea of George St. Pierre still being on this card.
And is that a fight with him or Mousasi?
No,
regardless,
it'd be Bisping. GSP is the other one that floated around last night.
Yeah, we heard a little bit about that.
Bisping called him out, right? And now it looks
But all those things we just talked about for 15 minutes are in the play for Bisping's fight just because GSP is involved.
It's just interesting when you look at 206, it's different than all the other cards in a way that's really obvious.
And you want to make a bet. I probably, your caveat though in the bet, I still think something else is going to happen. That's just been where we've been with the UFC at this point. We're sitting here on the 21st of October. You've got until December, which back in the day wasn't a long time, but we've been seeing more and more fights land about 5 weeks out. And we're just about to hit that 5 week mark, I think next week at some point. So it'll be really interesting to see. And this could also be just where some of these cards land. If you go back to Lawler-Woodley, that was the only fight on that card, too. Only fight on that card.
For a long time.
And it was after it happened. What was another fight on that card? Don't look it up. See? Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Don't look it up.
No. Eric went to grab his mouse. That was my point. I think maybe Cub Swanson or somebody was on there. I don't know.
Probably.
But I'm sure they were great fighters. I'm not disrespecting any of them. But I'm just saying at this point with the UFC, especially with these stat cards, we're going to see peaks and valleys. And the valleys aren't so bad. I don't mind a valley where it's Daniel Cormier and Rumble Johnson, especially since, John Jones can't get his crap together. Let's figure out who is actually the best of these two. Make it, quote unquote, undisputed and move forward in the division.
Now, you bring up John Jones, who this week was on Twitter doing very typical Twitter things.
John Jones, tweet and delete, baby. Did he delete any of those? Did he actually leave them up there this time?
Did he delete the one about keep talking because daddy's not home? Did he delete that one?
See, okay, here's the problem. And this is getting back to the point where I was with Cyborg a couple years back, where
because now you're a huge fan, right?
What, Cyborg?
Yes.
I'm not a huge fan. I'm not as mad anymore. She still needs to make the weight, but it was very frustrating to hear her talking over and over and over again when Ronda was the champion. She had never made the weight for the fight. I'm calling you out. I think one of the biggest bitch-ass moves is to keep calling guys out when you can't even get your ass in the cage, and that's where we are with Jon Jones. I don't care about your little cover photo championship, buddy. I don't care about daddy not being home. I care about the fact that if you really want to show up somebody and you really want to prove something, you find a way to get in the cage. And at this point, it doesn't look like you're going to be there for at least another year and a half. So shut up and sit down. I don't care anymore. That's where I am.
I'm with you. I don't see. Oh, here's one. Can't wait to get back and slap one of these light heavyweights. Even on the sidelines, I'm more relevant than anyone in the division.
Mm-hmm. Sure. But you can't get in the cage. So that the relevance is gone.
And then the one.
And
that
you can argue, hey, would they lose to John? Here's the problem Jon Jones has, too. Oh, do you have more tweets? I'm sorry.
I just have one. The one after that I was referring to, I will read. You boys know when we all retire, you'll just be known as one of my contenders. It's easy for you all to talk ass when daddy ain't home.
That's what you think until somebody like Cormier or Johnson wins a couple of fights and they really legitimize the division. And everybody goes, oh, man, Jon Jones, it sucks. But let me give you a name, Jon Jones. Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson went to prison.
Yep.
Mike Tyson came back from prison to get his belt back. Never happened. Never happened in his career. Some of the fights we wish we would have seen, sucks that we didn't, but he never came back and got that belt back.
Well, and I mean, what, like, let's use an actual real-time example. What's going to happen to Tyson Fury? You know, had to vacate his belts because of his drug problems and all the stuff going on in his life.
Mm-hmm.
When does he come back? I don't even know. Obviously, we don't cover a lot of boxing here on MMA, but here's another guy who was huge in the boxing world, has a huge fall from grace having to do with cocaine and other things. These guys, it's no guarantee, as you're saying, that Jones is going to come back and run this division, because as we've been saying on the show the entire since UFC, whenever was it 200? There was 200.
200,
right?
When he got bounced the week of.
You know, since that fight at UFC 200, we've been talking about this division is going to continue to evolve. And we're all going to wake up in the middle of 2017, and there's a very real possibility that one of two things happens. Some guy you've never heard of, as we're recording the show right now, destroys Rumble Johnson and sends Cormier up to heavyweight and starts running this division, and his name isn't Jon Jones because the division just changed.
Well, we've been talking about this. We don't have to go back to 200. We go back to 197, OSP Jon Jones. And now looking back at that and seeing that loss that OSP took, wait a minute, Johns looked terrible.
Yeah.
The one consensus, the interesting thing about this whole Daniel Cormier and who's legitimate and who's daddy and sidelines and all this BS is the consensus I think most of us took, and you could almost see the pain on Daniel Cormier's faces. Daniel Cormier would have whooped your ass that night, Jon Jones. That was the near consensus after Jon Jones and OSP fought, which was amazing considering what had happened in the actual fight between Jon Jones and Daniel Cormier. Almost to a person that you talked to who knew anything about MMA, who watched the sport, who watched that fight, John would have had his ass handed to him.
Uh-huh.
That was pretty much the consensus that night. And again, I'm not saying we don't look back at Mike Tyson and go, he wasn't a great fighter, but we also know, hey, that division moved on and moved on without him, and it moved on with champions that just moved out, you know, moved past Mike Tyson. And that's where we could be with Jon Jones soon. If the only fight you've had in 3.5 years, which again is what we're looking at. I was kind of surprised to see the tweets, and maybe John just needs to talk because, you know, these guys are getting some play. Like, here's the light heavyweight championship, and that's got to eat at him, and that's got to drive him insane. But that's the reality now, and 1,000% of this is on Jon Jones for 10 different reasons. And let's say he had a tainted supplement, and that's why he fell out of 200. Well, dude, you had a couple strikes before that that kept you from kind of doing this and being where you should in the championship division. Because if you're a champion going into 200 with a quote-unquote tainted supplement, and I'm not talking about the fake belt he's got posted on his Twitter, but if you're the actual championship, this is an entirely different story. What happened, though, is you were an interim title holder, and you got bounced from the fight, and it looks like you were cheating, and boy, you had these problems before, and you got arrested, and there was a giant bag of drugs and money, allegedly. I don't know. That's the whole story.
Uh-huh.
It's not one possible tainted supplement. It's all of this around you, and if the only time you're talking is to call people out when you know you can't get in the cage, that's a punk-ass move. It really is. It's the same thing Cyborg kept doing. I want the fight with Ronda. Well, you're not making the weight. You're not even in the UFC. What are you doing? So what is he doing? doing here? Are we going to move forward? We asked about this last week on the show. Are we going to actually see some of this evidence, quote unquote? Are we actually going to see a lightened sentence at some point? Because we're now moving into what would be at the point he gets in front of a commission.
It will be a week from Monday. Halloween is when he gets in front of the commission.
So we're nearly 5 months out from the UFC where he was suspended, essentially. And again, it's going to be interesting. I know it's Nevada, so you never know what kind of insanity is going to happen. It's going to be really interesting to see if there's some type of caveat for possible tainted supplements.
Well, and what's interesting that you say that is bookmaker.eu, so a European bookie site.
They got so many.
Is messing around with this and has the odds on whether or not John Jones' positive drug test will be overturned as a result of the arbitration. And, you know, no right now is the early favorite on this faux betting site, right? But here's...
No, like, that's real. I mean, Europe, they'll bet on anything.
Well,
you can really bet. We
to
just
reset
can't do it here.
A little bit, he tested positive for estrogen blockers without getting into names because it doesn't matter. What happens is, as it stands right now, he could get a one-year suspension for taking specified substances written under the... I know this gets confusing. The World Athletic Doping Association, so the WADA code. Jones said, to rewind the clock a little bit, in August, he was going to be back in the octagon real soon. What that means is, as Ken was saying, he goes in front of arbitration on Halloween. If they say, look, it wasn't your fault, it's a six-month suspension. He is back in active duty by December 2nd.
Oh, it's 6 months then?
Yes.
I thought it was a year still.
My understanding is it's if they can prove that you had no idea that you took it, you still get 6 months, and as we know...
Yeah, but we read this line last week. You're ultimately responsible for what's in your body.
There's no precedent yet of them doing that.
So that's what we're waiting for. That's why we've got so much ambiguity, is we haven't had...
Like, if they did that every time and said, look, I know you didn't take anything...
Well, let's not forget, this is the first time we've seen a star of this caliber basically lay this out as a defense since we've changed the entire drug testing process in the UFC. So this will be precedent setting, I think, is the word for it. I don't think that's something that's overstating the situation
and
here.
This is their chance to do that. If you want to draw the line in the sand, and I recommend, you know, based on what you read last week, ultimately you are responsible. If you go to McDonald's and you eat chicken nuggets and the chicken nuggets have HGH in them, guess what? That's on you,
see,
right?
I'd be so buff if they do that.
Of course, we all would, right?
I'd be so buff.
That's on you. And this is their chance to draw a line in the sand and say, look, John, I know you didn't know what you were taking, but ultimately, you are responsible for everything that passes down your gullet.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, you are suspended for a year, effective July...
So July of 2016.
You know, July 2 or whenever that was when he got pulled. And then you can be back in action this coming summer in 2017.
Which is still, by the way, half of what the required punishment has been understood to be, which is 2 years.
At least you're setting a precedent and going, guys, look... If you get caught with this, it's a year. And if we can prove that you did it with intent, it's 2 to 4.
So John Jones on Twitter, what do you think that's about? I think he's obviously upset. He's jealous. He doesn't like the fact that, you know, the pub has started for 206. And, he, you know, he's trying to throw his name out there. It just seems very John Jones-like to kind of just spout off on Twitter and tell your daddy's not home and blah, blah, blah. And I feel like John has to be hyper aware that his relevance is waning at this point.
Well, and I think he's hedging his bets and thinking that, you know, much like we were talking about George St. Pierre. Now, is John Jones irrelevant? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. But is John Jones at the peak of his stardom? No. We've been talking about this for 2 years. It's Ronda and Conor McGregor. And if you are not one of those two, that's where the peak of this organization is at this point. And so there is some sort of luster worn off on John Jones to the point that you're getting to the point that this division might pass you by if you have to sit out till next summer. Because if Rumble goes in and beats DC in December and he's healthy and he wants to do what Bisping is doing and just be really busy and be the champ that's, you know, defending the belt and continuing to fight and all of those things, because it's not like Rumble's getting any younger either.
Mm-hmm.
This is when you're going to see this organization either, or this division, I should say, either evolve or you start to see a new star in this brutal killing machine in Rumble Johnson that just destroys everybody at 205.
Hey, you could see that, or like you said, we might not even know the guy's name right now.
Sure.
I mean, because this could be a long time here for John Jones as we wait for him to get back. I just... I get what he's doing. It just comes off really bad. I mean, he's never been good at optics, though, so I guess that's not
No, he's not been good at optics.
That's not a huge surprise with Jon Jones, but when your only fight... let me look this up. I keep forgetting with Jon Jones because, I mean, that fight in there kind of screwed us up. Hold on. Let me grab this. So when your only fight...
In 3 years, right?
Since January 3rd of 2015 is against OSP, and it didn't look great, and pretty much everybody said, hey, it's a good thing you didn't fight the champion because you would have had your ass handed to you. This is going to get harder and harder and harder to say, hey, Jon Jones is a legitimate threat in this division. Let's say that he gets the bare minimum suspension, which is basically no suspension. He could fight in December. So maybe we book him in December. I don't know how we do. You certainly aren't booking him into a title fight at that point. But
the problem is, not to cut you off, but the problem is the only guy that seems logical, which would be Gustafson. Gustafson's on the shelf for who knows how long. So
now he's semi-retired, didn't he? So what
right.
did he do
so
over the
like,
week?
I don't know what you do with him. Maybe you do find the guy with no name that you want to put him up against and see if he can handle that guy, because he certainly barely handled OSP, but go ahead.
But more than likely what you do is you put him in against Cormier and Johnson. You put him against the winner there, which if you've got this fight happening in December, is going to happen at best in March or April of next year. At very best. I'm guessing April, May. So then at that point, Jon Jones will have had one fight in nearly 2.5 years, and that one fight against OSP.
Yep.
Come on. We had a lot of this discussion back in April. That discussion times 10 happens no matter in the that discussion times 10 happens in the best case scenario for Jon Jones at this point.
So if I'm reading this correctly, you're auditioning for a trilogy between him and OSP.
Maybe we could do that.
Okay.
That's not a terrible spot. Other than if you're Jon Jones and you lose to OSP after the loss that OSP took, where are you in the division at this point?
That would be
You're
bad.
Behind Jimmy Manoa, at least, right?
For sure.
Yeah. Manoa? Jones? I don't know. See, this is interesting to kind of talk about here because...
Well, because he's...
He put himself into this situation, though. You jump in on Twitter like this, and you really want to analyze where you are in the fight world. We're going to start talking about it. Because you know what? You're getting rusty again. You said there was no such thing as ring rust, and then after the fight, well, I admit there's ring rust. Well, hell, where are you going to be next time, bro?
Right.
You're getting that ring rust back right now. That's what's happening. And you're getting older every single day. So, I don't know. Jon Jones, you put it out there. Your relevance in this division is waning by the day. Not saying you're not a top-tier fighter, but when you're calling guys out when you can't even get yourself in the cage, it doesn't play very well for the general audience.
Yeah, so in the top 11, the only three that make sense, first would be Manoa because of its ranking, and then Corey Anderson or Krylov, given the fact that they're both on a bit of a tear, because he's beaten everybody else in the division.
Yeah, but that was old Jon Jones. This is new rusty Jon Jones. Do you want to reintroduce like that?
I'm with you. But, like, if you're Nikita Krylov, are you not thinking, I'll fight rusty Jon Jones and see where that puts me in the rankings?
If you're anybody, you want him. Again, let's remember, we talked a lot about this going into 200. Once the mystique was gone, which it seems, he didn't lose to OSP. And sometimes when we talk about this, people might think, I think he lost, or Eric thinks he lost. I don't think he lost that fight. I think where he lost in that fight was he lost a lot of luster there, a lot of that dominance, a lot of that, oh my God, how strong is he? Like, that's all guys would ever say when they got out of the cage. Oh, God, Jon is so strong. I knew he was strong, but Jesus, he's strong. He lost a lot of that. He was going to fight a guy who knew how strong he was next with Daniel Cormier. He lost a lot of that luster when Jimmy Manoa beat the guy who damn near beat him. And again, I don't want to take anything away from Jimmy Manoa, but just remember, just back in 2015, how light years ahead we had Jon Jones ahead of every division and every pound-for-pound ranking at that point. That's when you're that high, you can fall pretty far. I'm guessing Tiger Woods is still a pretty badass golfer, but when you're as high as he was and you're where he is now, that shows and shines a lot brighter than if you were just kind of middling around up near the top of the division.
And of those three guys, if you're Nikita Krylov, you're on a 5-fight winning streak at that division. Now, granted, you're ranked 10th. If you're...
I'm going to jot this down because, you know, I just want to know when Nikita Krylov is like world champion. I'm going to go, hey, you guys remember October 21st, 2016?
Right? Well, so if you're looking at Jimmy Manoa, his last four fights, K-R-Y. He lost to Gustafson, he beat Jan, he lost to Rumble, and beat OSP. And then Corey Anderson is the same thing. He just lost to Shogun. So... you've got a guy who's on a 5-fight winning streak that not a lot of people know, as I just was saying 10 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that guy has a chance to fight Rusty John Jones, you bet your ass he's going to get in the cage at 206 and take that fight.
This is going to go exactly the same way the thing with Ronda went, where I don't care at all. I'm not really wanting to invest my time in it until I know you're coming back. I told you this over and over again with Ronda Rousey. I didn't care what she said on Twitter. I didn't care that she tweeted out time to come home or whatever stupid thing she tweeted out after Misha lost. I didn't care about any of it until she actually booked a fight. And now that she booked a fight, I'm on board. I told you that. I was the one advocating on the show. I get it. Some people are pissed that she got the title shot right away. Here are the 10 reasons this made sense. When Jon Jones is actually able to get back in the cage, I'll start paying attention to his Twitter in a serious way.
And here's the exciting part is Nikita Krylov is already on the 206 card.
Eric is all in, guys. Eric's all
in. I love the conspiracy theory.
So now that card just got better. You talked yourself into a better card that you were talking earlier.
If Krylov is going to fight Jon Jones,
he's in that sweet spot, the headlining part of the prelims,
exactly,
as you call it.
Well, because they put the guys in that position, and Misha actually didn't want to fight Krylov for obvious reasons because he's on a 5-fight win streak. But if they put those guys in that position, they put Faber in that position, they used to put Cruz in that position because they put on spectacular performances that then convert people into buying the pay-per-view, because then all of a sudden the exciting action stops. So that I always say that position is your marketing position. That's you put fighters there that are going to put on a spectacular performance to push people into this right now average at best pay-per-view. Now if it's going to be Nikita Krylov and Jon Jones,
boy, you're already calling for it.
I'm just saying.
All right,
he's already training. He's on the card already.
He's already training. Okay. All right. You think we're going to Jon Jones on 206? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, he's free. He's free in December.
Right. Fair enough. I guess that's the other scenario we could go with. I didn't think of that in the best case scenario.
Jon Jones Bisping?
Nikita Krylov, his bio in front of me, ready to go.
Sorry.
I'll be prepared next week.
Next time.
Next week, we try again.
As we always do. You can follow along on Twitter and Facebook with whatever is going to happen this weekend. As a reminder, we don't have a UFC till November 5th, and that will be Rafael Dos Anjos and our boy Tony Ferguson from Muskegon. He will be stopping by to talk about that fight before it happens, but that is November 5th, and followed shortly by It's Finally Time. It'll be in New York November 12th, so all of that stuff is forthcoming, but no UFC action between now and then other than The Ultimate Fighter. If you need anything, Twitter and WOW Show on Facebook, you can find us. And remember, review.
Yeah.
On iTunes, on Google Play, wherever you listen to it.
Pretend we're a better show and give us a review that way.
Pretend we prepare on a weekly basis to entertain you and review us accordingly.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, it's just a click. Nobody cares if you lie and say this is amazing, this show. Nobody cares.
We care, but nobody else does.
No, that's what I mean. Nobody's going to call you out on it.
Nope.
Like at some point.
Exactly.
You're not going to go, hey, did you give them 5 stars and you really only think they're 4.5? Nobody's going to do that.
No, zero.
I mean, think
people.
About your level of loss in this situation. It's zero. That's
it
all
is.
I'm saying, people. Am I overselling?
No, I think we're good.
All right. Rate us, review us. Thank you very much.
Follow our Twitter account at WOW Show.